I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday afternoon. It's a Monday. And Daniel Golden is our guest, and we always are so happy to see him. Not only, he usually comes in with bags of books. Today he came in with a whole box of books, a huge box of books to talk about. So summer reading list, you'll get one as we carry on our conversation this hour. He's owner of the wonderful Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, and he is with us fairly often to talk about books. He has a list of books we'll put on our Facebook page. We, of course, are going to be starting with a conversation about the Harper Lee Go Set a Watchman, which is set to be released tomorrow. A lot has been written about it. I don't think I can bring myself to read that book, but maybe Daniel will convince me, yes, and you as well. So if you have a question about a book that would be good for you to read when you're on vacation, now's a good time to call. Or if there's a book that really has captured your fancy and you would like to let us know about it, that's fine too. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. Daniel, happy summertime.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. I can't read Go Set a Watchman. I can't read it. I'm still waiting for the ultimate, this is how the story came to be published. Harper Lee did give her consent to it. I find that story as interesting as the fact that she wrote this book. But I can't have Atticus destroyed in my mind, Daniel. I just can't. I can't.
I feel your pain. I mean, I was making fun of other readaptations of various books and movies and things over the years that have really changed the images. And it's my feeling that it doesn't really matter, that that book stands alone no matter what else somebody does with it. And it wasn't her intention to change the way you felt about Atticus with this other book. I mean, obviously it was written beforehand. It didn't come out. I haven't even really thought about reading it because it's been so secretive. I read most books, probably 80% of the books I read before they come out. They want advanced readers. They want us to talk about how great it is. But not only did we not get a book, when I talked to people at HarperCollins about it, there were supposedly only 5 people at the corporation who read the book in advance.
It was
so
secretive.
And I never actually talked to any of those people who had read it. So, I mean, I'm sure they don't really, no matter how you felt about the book, there's a lot riding on it. You better say it's pretty great. And obviously you don't have as much riding on it. So you're good. You have the freedom to like it, to not like it, to not read it. I don't think it matters what we say about it. I think there'll be a very big pop. My feeling is that it's really not about how big this book is. They've done a really great job laying it out. They did it in advance. They've been the secretiveness is very important because you don't want the news to drop too quickly about, say, the racism in the story. It's really a question of momentum, like the continued momentum. So if the Rotten Tomatoes score, so to speak, is very high, then we could have a very good Christmas with this too. And if people go, I wanted to read it, now I read it, then it'll be a pop and then drop.
When do you get it? Do you get it tomorrow?
We get it sometime today.
Today?
Have to get it today because officially you're allowed to do a midnight release party.
Oh.
So, and a number of stores are. Yes, and a lot of stores are showing the film. Or they're working with various organizations in their towns. I know that a lot of Barnes & Nobles are doing readathons, for example, of the book. I wasn't sure if I wanted to listen to someone read the book, but actually it really depends on the reader. If I had an actor reading the book, I think I'd enjoy it a lot. We said our customers really want to get up at midnight for this. And then we thought about opening early. We haven't really done anything, and we have tons of holds on the book. So I usually keep very, very busy, and we have a number of things going on in the store and around the store, and I just thought I can't take this on.
Right.
So we're just happy to have the book and sell it.
Will you start reading it today?
Oh, I honestly didn't think about that until about 5 minutes ago. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to read this.
Exactly.
But I will tell you, if it was a 600-page book, it wouldn't be an issue for me. I'd say no. But it's short enough that I could read it in a reasonable amount of time. I did just finish I just start. I don't like to stop in the middle of things. And I just did start my, you know, my next book. And, you know, when you stop and start a book, you don't have, that's when you need to have your next book to read. Because I don't want to go like a week without reading something.
Right.
And so I'm reading this book called My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante. It's not a new book. I decided it was one of those books that everybody tells me to read. And so I finally picked up for our in-store book club. It's actually, she's an Italian writer, and it's the first of four books about a friendship, a 60-something year friendship between these two women in Italy. Lots of interesting, quirky stories about Italian life in Naples, I think.
Nice.
And so I'm, you know, I thought, well, now I'm in this, so now I'm not going to read the Harper Lee at least until I finish this. And then I sort of feel like, do people need me to make a decision on this? And I think, no.
Yes, they do, Daniel. Oh, they do. I'm sorry.
Okay,
you'd be first person I would ask.
Yeah, I'd say, does it deliver? But
I'll ask you, should I change my mind?
Well, I'm glad being on air that I haven't made the decision because I'm too coward. Because that's the sort of, I will tell you, that I'm very happy to talk about books that I really like.
Right.
But when I don't like a book, as a bookseller, I'm not a critic. And so I just shut up. And but if you're talking to me in the store,
okay,
I might say, well.
Okay. All right. You're on. We'll do that. So this is the time. I don't read any novels. I have to read nonfiction all year. So you've brought us a lot of escapist, but well-written escapist for vacation.
I went to all my booksellers and I said, okay, it's summer reading time. We all have to recommend a book.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, I didn't put down all the recommendations for every bookseller. I think I did up to two books from each bookseller, and only one person recommended a nonfiction book. I thought there would be a little more, oh, I'm summering in France or whatever.
How about northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's right. The lake. But nonfiction. Like, we had that book, Cabin Lessons, about building a cabin, you know, and I thought somebody would. But it was all fiction and a lot of speculative stuff. So a lot of fantasy. One other major book that's coming out tomorrow. I mean, it's sort of, I feel bad for it because I feel like in any other week it would be the number one book of the week, is Ernie Cline's Armada, which is it's not the sequel, but it's his follow-up book to Ready Player One, which has been on and off the bestseller list for like 2 years.
Oh, goodness.
And it's sort of it's going to be a movie eventually, and it's about a kid who's gets involved in video games, and it's, you know, it's a much bigger book than that. It's speculative, saving the world kind of thing. I remember with Ready Player One, we had like six booksellers crazy about the book. Right now, our big read was from my bookseller Jason, who said that it was a great summer read. It was 10 on the funometer, and you know, anyone, and I don't have to sell it to people. Tons of people have read Ready Player One, and they're probably ready for this. The other book like that, which doesn't have a sequel, is The Martian. You know, so in that sort of speculative but kind of funny books, there's a lot of 80s trivia in Ernie Cline's books. So someone in their, well, I suppose you have to be in your 40s to really appreciate, or have watched a lot of television reruns to really appreciate that.
Okay.
So that was one. Another book that has been a bookseller favorite has been this book called Hunger of the Wolf by Stephen, I think it's Marché. And he is the key on this book is – the key, I'm going to tell you one key, which is you should put your notes in order so that you can find them afterwards. That's one thing.
I never have learned that in these years. They're all over the place. Well, you'll get back to it.
Yes, well, so it's this guy who has to figure out, it's a mysterious death, and it turns out that there's a secret conspiracy around it, and it follows big business, and it has really good, one of the things that was attracted me to it is our bookseller Mel recommended it to me, but the two people that I saw that recommended it were Emma Donahue, who I really like her work and James Fry, who is famous for other things.
Yes.
But doesn't give that many quotes. So I found that interesting. My bookseller, Eric, had recommended the new Walter Mosley. You know, he has a new character, a newer character, instead of E.Z. Rollins, which he's been writing for a long time, Leonid McGill. These books take actually place in New York. And Eric said that it was very, very strong, as funny, exciting, and righteously angry as most of the E.Z. Rollins books. Mm. So that's been a thing. One book that two of my booksellers really loved is The Library at Mount Char by Scott Hawkins. And it's one of those, it's a contemporary fable, alternative universes, battles between gods and humans, anthropomorphic animals, the whole shebang, a literary roller coaster. And I think that's what people read. I mean, when I start talking about that, you're like, oh, I can see it in the multiplexes. You mm-hmm. know, so there's a lot of these summer escapist books have a movie quality about them. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of, you know, they're just the best ones have all the action and the characters you root for, but they're also really well written.
Good.
Because there's a lot of them out there that you go, well, this is good, but they should probably spend more than a half hour writing it.
Yes, they should if you're going to spend money to buy it. You also have on the list you gave us, I love this, books where booksellers and librarians are the heroes, as well they should be.
Well, I'm not really sure what is causing this trend, but it's like is it the suck up factor? It's like, we really want you to carry and circulate our book, so we're just going to make you the stars. How's that going to go? And there've been some really successful ones in the last couple of years. I didn't put it on the list because I think everybody knows it, but The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey by Gabrielle Zevin, which I've mentioned here before, sort of was one of the early trendsetters. But I was noticing as I was going through my books with booksellers, there was just sort of one after another. And so the latest one to hit the big time is a book called The Little Paris Bookshop by Nina George, which my bookseller Jane has been hand-selling very well. And I know independents all over the country are, because it just hit the bestseller list. And this is the kind of book that really does sell in independent bookstores, not as well in mass merchants, not as well online, because, well, you know, if I that's sort of obvious why that would happen. And it's about a bookseller in France, and of course French books also sell really well, that helps everybody find the perfect book.
Right.
You know, they don't even know they're looking for it, and their lives change through it. But of course, his life needs some helping, and so a whole bunch of people get together and help him out. And my bookseller, who loved it, said, there's some French words in here, so I can't pronounce those correctly, a captivatingly beautiful story about a man's quixotic literary journey from loss and grief into new friendships and unsinkable optimism.
Aww.
So that's been something, and I've had several customers come back and tell me how much they loved it. I haven't read it yet. That is the kind of book that I guess I would read, but I was too busy still being excited about The Red Notebook, which is the last French.
And this is your recommendation.
That was my recommendation, though I've had four or five other booksellers in the store read it, and it's also about a French bookseller who makes everybody's life so happy. And but in this particular case, it's a love story. I mean, I think the other one's a love story too, but he finds this book. It's a moleskin, if you want to know specifically, on the sidewalk, and it has this journal, and there's no identifying marks. He can't find the person's name. He can't find their address. He can't find their cell phone number. He can't find their email address. He reads the whole journal, and he can't find any identifying marks, but what he finds is that he falls in love with the person through the book.
Oh, it sounds
so
wonderful.
So now he has to find the person. There's one hint, and that's the woman is obsessed with the author Patrick Modiano, which is kind of amusing because he wrote this book before the Nobel Prize was announced, and Patrick Modiano won the Nobel Prize for Literature. So at the same time, we know what's happened to her. She's going to be a little hard to find under the circumstances, but it is a romantic book. And his last book, The President's Hat, we sold like crazy, and they're very sweet and Parisian, and you know, it's not deep. There's some deepness to it. There's a little philosophy, but mostly they're just, you know, they're just books that make you feel good.
You just told me a movie story just then, didn't you? That's obviously going to be made into a movie at some point. It would be so perfect.
So, but I don't want to give short shrift to librarians because they are also very important. And the funny thing about the librarian thing is that I was reading the two books and I thought, well, these seem there's some similarities to this. But that's one of the things I found with several of the books that I was. There's certain tropes. So there's two books. One is called The Book of Speculation by Erica Swiler, and that's recommended by my bookseller, Jen. And there's another book called Cat Out of Hell by Lynn Truss. That's the woman who wrote Eat, Shoots, and Leaves, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And that's recommended by my friend, my bookseller, Mel. And each one, there's a lonely librarian and... booksellers have a lot more energy, I guess. But the librarians I know are quite energetic as well. So I don't know. I'm calling these out for their falsehoods. But in both cases, their sisters are missing, and they have to.
They're missing.
They're missing, and maybe dead. And uh-huh. in Cat Out of Hell, it's in London, and the twist is that a cat. knows the secret and starts talking to the librarian. So, but it's very, there is, you know, the thing about both these kinds of books is you throw lots and lots of books into the mix. So it's not just that it's a librarian, but the librarian's dealing with books and the books are quoted and the books are references. And that's so much fun. In the Book of Speculation, the twist is, it's set on Long Island, not in London. See, it's already different. And in this particular case, the sister may have been taken by a curse that kills the women and the family in the middle of July after they run off and join carnivals.
So, for heaven's sake, Daniel.
But it's really fun. And
it's got a
really nice Sarah Groon quote. She's the woman who wrote Water for Elephants. It reminded me, when I read the other quote, though, that I think is more telling, is Catherine Dunn, who wrote the very, very wonderful cult novel Geek Love. Mm. She's maybe the future Harper Lee, because she wrote this
really?
One novel. She wrote a story, she wrote some columns, but I'm almost positive there's no other novel.
Huh.
And people are, you know, there's a cult following for her books.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, someday people may say I'm not going to say she's Harper Lee, but she might grow, especially, you know, in 20, 30 years from now, because that's the way people are passionate about this book, Geek Love, which is about a story of, it's about freaks, you know, freak.
Mm-hmm.
Carnival freaks. That's why I connected the carnival stuff to that. So, Jen said about this one, she said something very exciting, I should tell you. It is. There's Little Paris Bookshop. And, Book of Speculation. There it is. Mysterious, dark, magical, and very hard to put down. So the other book, like if you like The Night Circus, which was a very popular book, I think this is another one. We had it in our newsletter and had a pop in copies. And I trust Jen on this. She's very good about this sort of thing. So she knows what she's doing. And we even have a bookseller book coming to the store. I don't really have – this isn't really an event-y driven. We don't do as many events in the summer. But we do have actually – I thought, I've got an event about a book about a bookstore. It's called The Bookseller by Cynthia Swanson. And interesting enough, even in these bookseller books, there's a lot of speculative elements that make them summery. So in this particular case, it's a bookseller in the early 1960s who's kind of a free spirit. She's single and broke off with her boyfriend many years ago. And she's starting to think about him again. And then she wakes up one day and she's married to him. And it goes back and forth between the two worlds. So it's kind of a sliding doors story. I've read a number of books like that. I kind of like those alternate reality things. In a way, Life After Life by Kate Atkinson is a very serious, that's a winter version of that story. But this is a summer version.
Nice. That one's good. That sounds like my vacation read. We're going to welcome phone calls. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour. He is the owner of Boswell Books here in Milwaukee, and we're doing a summer reading list for you. Tomorrow, of course, the day that Harper Lee's book, written in 1957, and there's a great deal of front page reporting, New York Times, The Washington Post, The Guardian, everybody's writing about this book because of the portrayal of Atticus Finch, who many of us have thought of as a hero. We've named, I guess there were how many thousands of children named Atticus as a result of Gregory Peck's, and you know, that's also true that To Kill a Mockingbird is Gregory Peck. So the book, Ghost at a Watchman, is going to be released tomorrow. And we're doing a show about that on Wednesday, actually. But if you want to answer the question, are you going to read it? Do you think that Daniel should have had a party for people to... And, you know, midnight tonight is not too early. You could do it any time over the weekend. Or do you think, I'm never going to read this book? Do you have a recommendation that you need from him for a good summer read? Do you have one? Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter @KDunnShow. And you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's welcome phone calls for Daniel and Facebook comments. Our number again is 800-486-8655. Wayne in Two Rivers, our first caller. Hey, Wayne.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a very undisciplined reader. I read adventures, and I read them shoot 'em ups, and I read them Ace Atkins and all that stuff. But a couple of years ago, one of my favorite books I got in the mail, I have no idea who sent it to me, it was called Night Film. And I was wondering if Daniel would have a recommendation that would be close to the same kind of a feeling. It was a weird book.
Tell me about it. What's Night Film about?
Well, it was about this reclusive director that may have or may not have existed, and it made movies, but you didn't know if the characters were looking for him to interview him or talk to him, and they didn't know if they were in the movie or the set of a movie or if they were dreaming this. It was like, oh, it just was plain weird. you didn't fall asleep when you were reading it.
I would say we had actually two good reads on Night Film, but I didn't read it. And I know it's about film, and I know it's about directors, and I know there's sort of like a paranoia about it. So tomorrow, because usually after I finish this off and I listen to the show and make sure I got all the books down, and I usually write, I'll probably write on our page, which we'll link to your page, some recommendations, because I have to go back and ask the people who read it what they would suggest from it. So, I mean, Marcia Pessel wrote another novel that was also popular, but it was very different. Hmm. So I got to think that through.
Okay. Yeah, all right. To be continued, Wayne.
Pardon me?
I just said to be continued, unless you would like to continue this in some other way.
I am going to email him and give him my address, and I can get his newsletter, too.
Well, okay.
Okay, try.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks for the call. Lois called and wanted to know if the novel Goldfinch is a good summer read. A lot of her friends are recommending it. I did read that. When did that come out? A while ago.
It came out in the fall of 2013. Mm-hmm. So they wound up, normally, in the old days, it would be a year on a book for paperback. We see 6 to 8 months a lot now. But for a book like that, especially when it won the Pulitzer Prize, it came out in paperback in April. And I have actually, it's the same bookseller who read Night Film, Sharon. So we had our read on the book, and I thought, I guess I should read this. But I'm willing to concede that maybe I can read the Harper Lee, because I looked at the length, and I thought, I can handle this. And I thought, I don't know if I can read a 900-page book. I've decided to commit more to All the Light We Cannot See, that one I bought so that I have to read. That's the book, the equivalent. It's almost the selling the same trajectory. It took off. It kept on growing and growing. Then it won the Pulitzer Prize. They delayed the paperback. That'll probably be in April of 2016 in paperback. But in terms of Goldfinch, I would say people have enjoyed
it.
Yeah,
yes.
I would say, you know, remember, we're self-selecting, because there's a whole bunch of people. That book got so much distribution that I think there's a lot of people who picked up that book that probably wouldn't have liked it, and probably if there had been a bookseller and heard what the other books they read, they would have said, I don't know. You know, there's definitely a Dickensian feel to it. It's about an artwork. It's New York, and it's, you know, and we do pretty well with books about artwork. So in addition to our bookseller table, we also have novels that are about pieces of art or artists right now. Happen to be right now, because we just had Daniel Silva, who does the art restoring. And then we're actually going to be hosting Barbara Shapiro, who wrote her new book's called The Muralist, but her last book was called The Art Forger, which was very popular.
Hmm.
So people do like reading about the art world. I would say your friends know you. I'm going to put on my advice hat and say your friends know you. And if your friends who you share other books with say that you should read it, I say take the plunge. Right. And the good thing is, if you're going on a trip, you only have to bring one book.
Yeah, it is a long book. I have read it. I enjoyed reading most of it, should I say that? That's what I'll say.
There's some people have issues with the ending.
But. Yeah, I have a lot of issues with the ending, too. But it is a good read. I mean, it's a good read.
It is a page turner. It goes faster than you... It goes faster than it looks.
Absolutely. Okay. So, thank you, Lois. Let's go to Dan in Marshfield. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if you've heard or read the book, Girl in the Dumpster.
Don't know it.
Yeah, a friend of mine wrote it. He's from Marshfield, and it's not getting much publicity or anything, so I thought I'd call in. It's a mystery novel about older teenage kids who just go through a miserable time. And a lot of plot twists and everything. And I thought I'd bring that to your attention, and hopefully somebody will pick it up and read it. It's on Amazon, I know for sure.
Yeah. Well, I always like to say nowadays there's more writers than readers in Wisconsin. So the way we see people writing, you know, it's the barriers to entry for writing are so much lower, and more power to it. Though I'm not sure if Kathleen Dunn wants to hear a whole hour of people telling about the books that their friends wrote, but this sounds really interesting, and I it takes a whole new meaning of dumpster diving, right?
It does. And I forgot to say during the intro that Daniel was the 2015 recipient of the Council for Wisconsin Writers Christopher Latham Scholes Award for encouraging and supporting Wisconsin writers. KP and Scotty and I were there. It was a wonderful event. You were great. But, and the readers of all, I was so impressed how many Wisconsin writers are
the high school
superb.
Student who wrote that short piece.
Oh, my
Wasn't
goodness.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yes, it was. It was so moving. It was so moving. Yeah. Well, congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you.
You do so
you're
much for the written word. No, you're too kind. You're too kind. Thanks, Dan, very much for your call. Let's go to Sharon in Rhinelander. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi.
I just read a book called Water from My Heart by Charles Martin, and it came out in May.
Oh, cool. I do know Charles Martin's work. I haven't read anything, but he's been around for a while. He's sort of, would you say, more of a Nicholas Sparks with a little more spiritual overtones to it? Would you
Correct.
Say that's a good?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and it sort of fills the void, I think, of, they're not romances, but there's a romance about it. Would you say that's a good?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So is this your favorite of all of his?
I've never heard of him before, and so I was just given this to read, and so I'm curious now to read some of his other books. On the cover, it says one of his best-selling books was A Life Intercepted.
Yeah. He has had a lot of books, and I haven't mapped the ups and downs of sales, but they did try to break him out early on. They tried to break him out nationally with a more of a trade publisher. I think it was Crown. I'm not positive. When Sparks was just like exploding, and now I think he's with a crossover trade Christian house. So I would say you've got a lot of, if you enjoyed it, you've got a lot of exciting reading ahead of you.
Thank you so much for your call. A category we haven't talked about yet, Daniel, because not only do adults read in the summer on vacation, but children read as well, and you have Escapism for Kids on
your list. That's right. That's right. And my booksellers, I have a lot of books. I mean, I don't have any children who are bookselling for me at the moment, but I do have a lot of crossover reading. Both they get advice from kids, and they also read a lot of especially young adult and teen novels. And nowadays, you do see a big market among adults for teen novels. So there's a number of them that have been pretty successful. One that Phoebe has been talking up is called The Wraith and the Dawn. Phoebe does a lot of our school outreach. Hmm. And she said to me, did she say, she said, I was mesmerized by this book, and the ending was just wow. And so it is... I think it's sort of a retelling of the Arabian Nights as a teen adventure fantasy. So so there's that. And then we have The Golden Specific, which is the sequel to The Glass Sentence. It's for a slightly younger age. I would say this might have been a 12 and up, the first one. This is more like a 10 and up. And you would say – so it's – okay, there's a world, and There's a great disruption, as they call it, and the whole planet gets thrown into different time periods. So needless to say, you could be in one part of the country and it's in the present, another part is in the Stone Age, another part is in the 1700s. And so it starts off with a young girl and then a boy too, and her uncle, the map maker, disappears. We had very, very strong success of this. I feel like there may be some similarity to the Golden Compass series, which was hugely successful with us. The movie killed it because the movie was so bad. Amy and I were just talking about this, but she still sees it as one of the best kids books for that age range around. And Pam actually told me about this book, and she just said that she thoroughly enjoyed it and couldn't wait for the next book to come out, which is what, because so many of these kids' books are series, that's sort of the way you end every review of pretty much every book, kids' book that has a fantasy. Sometimes the realistic ones, like the John Greens and stuff, they're not all sequels, yeah, because then it becomes soap opera-y. But there's a lot of over and over and over again. One other book that is also the first in a series probably is An Ember in the Ashes, and that came from Jen, and she just really, I actually listened to a piece about this on public radio, and it is, you know, there's an emperor and there's, you know, a dark world. It's called the Empire. And, you know, I mean, there are some of the tropes are pretty standard. They're locked away. You know, they can't break out. There's some rebels, da 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 da. But this had particularly did very well. I think I had two or three reads on it. And there's very good quotes from Brandon Sanderson and Marie Lu. Marie Lu's very popular in the world of this sort of thing. And the only problem that I have with this happens with quotes is, like, I'm looking at the quote and I'm like, I have no idea what the book's about. She just really, 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 really liked it. So, you know, if you were reading somebody who likes The Hunger Games or something like that, this is a good book.
And why is there all of a sudden, maybe it's not been all of a sudden, why do a lot of adults like to read teen novels?
I think there's a couple of things. A lot of them have been introduced through the film adaptations.
I see.
And that has really driven the market. I think that a lot of teenagers start with them as teenagers and then don't let them go. Like, there is like a... Because there's not a really – I guess the transition is science fiction and fantasy for a lot of these books. But they're really different. They're not quite like – they're like a cross between fantasy and romance. And there's usually most like strict – there's paranormal fantasy. But that becomes – it's not – they're churning that – they're churning some of that out. There's very good qualities of the genre. But it's – it tends to be heavier on the romance side, and then you have your traditional fantasy, which tends to be very light on the romance side and heavy on the fantasy side. And I feel like at the young adult level, a lot of these authors merge the fantasy and the romance together, in a way that the writers who are writing for adults were picking one or the other because they were thinking one was more likely a male reader and one was a female reader. It's all speculate, you know, it's all assumptions, and all the assumptions are wrong about these things, of course. But that, you know, that's my guess,
yeah,
is that,
good.
You know, it's a combination of the two. Movies, though, have driven, it's such a big part of the market right now.
Yeah. Let's go to Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm wondering if your guest is familiar with the Irish travel author Dermot Murphy.
No, tell us about
but I'm calling because she has a whole pile of books, but three that are very timely. She is currently, I believe, about 83. She's been writing and traveling since the late 60s. Very intimate travel accounts that include a lot of history and politics.
Where does she travel? In Ireland or all over?
No, she's traveled all over the world.
I see.
And the three books I'd like to recommend are her brand new one that has just been published is Between River and Sea, which is her account of her time spent in the West Bank just recently.
Mm-hmm.
Her book published just before that in, I think 2 years ago, was account of her summer of 2011 spent in Gaza. And she's, you know, definitely travels off the road, lives with families, people, where they're at. And then the other book of hers I wanted to recommend, written some time ago, was The Island That Dared, which is about her travels in Cuba. She went with her daughter and her three granddaughters, and they bummed around Cuba, lots of history, lots of very, you know, personal everyday accounts, too. So it, I'm thinking with your summer reading theme, that might be, you know, interesting.
And how do you spell her first name, Mary?
Her first name is Dervla, D-E-R-V-L-A.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just one little something to give you a bit of flavor of the kind of person she is. She was recently, well, not recently, I believe about 5 years ago, received some very high literary award in England, and apparently they have some major ceremony in London at the palace that includes, you know, a toast in crystal containers, and she asked for an empty glass instead of what they were serving, and set her little bag on the table and took out a pint of Guinness and popped it open and poured herself some and then joined in the toast. So she's a popular gal in that part of the world.
Thank you, Mary, very much.
I think she's published here. I mean, I'm looking at the stuff now and I'm like, oh, okay, this looks familiar.
Does it sound familiar
to you?
Yeah, a
little. And if she, based on the last two books, the person calling in might enjoy the last two Sandy Tolan books, the Lemon Tree.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so.
Okay. Thank you. And Sandy is from Milwaukee.
He is.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Thank you, Mary, very much. David in Winona, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling about Billy Cremano here. Daniel, I believe you had an event at Boswell celebrating the publication of Futurism's Bastard Son by Billy Cremano.
I'm sure. Yeah,
and it's a book about his performance artist career. I've been working with Billy for about 40 years, so it's an interesting book. Wanted to mention.
I hope he thanked you in it.
Yes, I'm sure he did several times.
Tell us more about this. He's a performance artist.
Performance artist. Yeah, he's done all kinds of interesting. I don't want to say I don't think it's fair to call it stunt art, but it's sometimes outrageous, wouldn't you say, sir?
So. Oh yes, yeah. Definitely has an outrageous side to it. Most recently, he conducted a rolling map performance, which was sleeping on a bed of nails for 24 hours.
He did that.
Yes, he did that.
He slept, really? I mean, did he fall asleep?
Really?
he would fall off to sleep, but it was mostly he was awake because it was pretty uncomfortable.
I would imagine.
I think so.
Oh, the things we do, huh? All right, David, thank you.
Thank you.
Daniel Golden is our guest. He is the owner of Boswell Books, independent bookstore here in Milwaukee, and we're coming up with a summer read list for you, and if you have a suggestion, you can give one to us as well. It tends to be a little bit on the lighter side because it's summer and it's not, you know, heavy nonfiction. We're mostly talking fiction. But nobody has responded to the Harper Lee book, so let me ask you, are you going to read this book? Are you going to read it? It comes out tomorrow. Daniel is going to have to read it now. Go Set a Watchman, and he said that some places are having readings. I don't know if people will show up for this or not. What do you think about that? We're going to talk about it for a full hour on Wednesday because I think it's worthy of that. So many people have read To Kill a Mockingbird. It's one of their favorite books all time, to say nothing of the movie. So what do you make of this? Are you going to read the new book, or are you going to stay with To Kill a Mockingbird? Does anybody have an opinion on that? 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number, Daniel Golden is our guest, 800-486-8655. John is our next caller. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to recommend Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn to read in the summertime.
Well, that's a good idea. I usually try to read a classic. I did Great Expectations last year or the year before, which I loved when I was young, and I loved it again. Maybe Earl that would
Dickens.
Be a good one. Yes, exactly. Maybe Huck Finn would be good. What about classics for summer reads, Daniel?
I guess I know. The question I have for this, I'm guessing this caller, you've read it more than once, right? I assume you've read
John?
The book. John, have you read the book more than once? You've read the book more than once. I don't need to hear. I know he's read the book more than
yes.
once. And so the question is, does it feel different to read it in the summer than the winter?
Oh.
So, I mean, because people, they do publish, as we were talking about some of these summer-looking books, you know, they do, there is some sensibility in the change of the seasons to the publishing cycle. And I just wonder, like, so you take a book like that, which I don't necessarily, I guess I associate, you know, on the river. I guess
right.
if it was
absolutely.
If there was ice on the river, it would be a very different book. You know, it's
yeah.
like how different it is to read that. Or is it because a lot of people have vacation so they can read in one
right.
long
right.
clump.
That's what you do. You keep
yeah.
going through books on vacation.
Right,
you read
right.
one, another. I read a ton of books on vacation.
Oh, that sounds
do
dreamy.
You? Yeah.
I no, I don't really go on vacation.
Oh,
but,
Daniel. You
no,
to
I
on
visit.
Vacation.
I visit family a lot, and
I
do work trips. And so actually my vacation is I've refused to capitulate to people to using my computer on airlines. So I actually my rule of thumb is I put everything away and then I read. And
good,
that's
good.
Really the only time. I did actually I celebrated 4th of July by having a computer-free day. And I read all day. And, or, I mean, and I went to a parade. Okay, fine. So,
oh, Daniel, only one day of the whole year. You need a vacation.
Well,
you really do. People should take vacations. It's yeah. good for your heart. It's good for your soul. It's good for everything.
We'll work on it. I have that scheduling of all those event things.
I know.
So I'm not so good at that.
I know.
But I did go a whole day. I had to send one email by a phone just to say where I was. But otherwise, parade, book.
There you go.
Yes, I thought
right.
that was good.
That
so.
Was good. Now you need more. Let's go to Neil. John, thanks for your call. Neil in Toma. Hi.
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 Good afternoon to you. I was at the library last winter, and a young male librarian suggested I read a book called Dog Stars. Joseph Heller?
Peter Heller.
Peter Heller. There yeah. you go. Peter Heller. And then the other one I picked up then after that was The Painter by him also.
Very different book. And that fits into oh. all the themes, doesn't it? Because you had the artist book, and you had the a little speculative...
A little bit of fishing in there, yeah. so it's cool. But
yeah, that's right. Now, Dog Stars, it is a speculative novel, but it has a bit of a somberness to it. It feels like a winter speculative novel, as opposed to a
but
summer
it was a,
speculative novel.
There's a different slant on you know, a future event, you know, that could possibly happen than you're
right.
usually hearing. So
yeah, and beautifully written, isn't it? So yeah.
So it was interesting. It was good.
Yeah, very neat.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Neil. Bye. Fran in Madison. Oh, Fran, did I... Oh, no, that's not Fran. This is Fran in Madison. Hi, Fran.
Hello.
Hi.
I wondered if you could recommend a book like The Thornbirds by Colleen McCullough, a saga.
Oh.
Have you read Maeve Binchy?
No.
Oh, you'll read her. She's a page-turner. It's a good beach read. She's fun. She's got a lot of books.
Okay.
Maeve... Is it Binchley or
Binchy?
Binchy.
B-I-N-C-H-E-Y. Maybe.
Binchy.
I think you'll like her.
And I feel like, and that's, oh, so one's Australian, one's Irish. But yeah, I think some stuff. So what I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go in a different direction.
Sure.
And I'm going to go with maybe Invisible Bridge by Julie Oehringer, which is the story of two Hungarian brothers during World War II.
Ooh.
So it's a big, fat book.
Okay.
It's very... much of the time. We've been recommending it to a lot of people who've read All the Light We Cannot See, the Anthony Doerr.
Oh, okay.
Just because it's set in the same time period. But it's just like the two brothers who are separated who have to kind of survive in this terrible place and in circumstances and kind of see if they can get reunited again. Mm. So
his reads are much more substantial than my recommendation.
No, Binchy's great.
But Binchy's fun.
Yeah.
You'll like her. I mean, she's fun.
What is the name again, please?
Oh, that was The Invisible Bridge by Julie Oehringer. We have a customer because Colleen McCullough just passed away, and she's just crazy about her. So I was like, really? Does someone read any? I wish I could bring in Nancy
my customer Nancy here, because she could give you a list of 10 books immediately, because she's a voracious reader, and she just, like, I would say McCullough is like one of her three favorite novelists of all time. Yeah.
I forget what her next book was after that. I didn't care for it as much. It was a real letdown after The Thornbirds.
But some of the other ones are pretty good, so.
And who was in the movie? Remember the movie? The movie was
Richard.
Richard, yeah, what's his name? What's his name?
The movie was great. Richard Chamberlain.
Thank you. Yeah. Richard Chamberlain. All
right. Richard something. Yeah. I was like, I got Richard.
You did good for you. All right, Fran. Happy reading.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ellen in Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi. My book recommendation is Population 485 by Michael Perry.
Oh, Michael Perry. Oh, what a wonderful guy. And what wonderful books, right?
We just spent the weekend in New Auburn just because of that book.
Yeah.
It is impossible to spend a weekend in New Auburn. You've covered the town in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But
planning.
All the more remarkable to see what a beautiful book can be written from a place that has absolutely nothing in it.
Did you read his new novel, The Jesus Cow?
We listened to it on CD on the drive up there.
Oh, I thought so.
So we had a whole weekend of just
Michael Perry. Yeah, it was. I thought it was very charming. Actually, I really enjoyed it. I love that. You know, actually, this is great because this is transitioning into my summer comedies, because I feel like it's a classic summer comedy. Lots of characters, you know, sort of like a Jenga of complications that's all going to come crashing down, and it's but the difference, you know, like, then there's always a twist, and the twist is that it's super Wisconsin-y, his book.
Exactly.
you know it's very fun to
My favorite book of his is Coop. That is a beautiful
book. I haven't read him. I'll have to read him. Nobody's answered my question. Are you going to read Go Set a Watchman?
You were asking. You are you going to read it?
I have not heard of it.
The Harper Lee book. You haven't heard about the controversy? Atticus Finch.
No.
Oh, you haven't.
Right. We'll take another 20 minutes and tell you about it.
Okay, well, I'm writing it down. I'm going to have to check that one out.
Oh, okay. No, cool. Maybe you shouldn't. Yeah, all right. I'm just wondering if our show...
Kathleen reserves judgment.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if a show on this is going to fly. I think it will, but nobody's responded. Oh, well. For those of you who were Harper Lee
fans.
Seed
the marketplace, as we say. Wink, wink.
Exactly. All right, what haven't we covered? We have a couple minutes.
I have my summer comedy. Funny that we were talking about Jesus Cow, because I spent the whole, I knew I was doing this, and I thought, well, I want to read another, I need to get one more summer comedy in. Last year we talked about The Vacationers, which you actually wound up reading, Mr. Abbott. And I was talking about how there are all these comedies with bathing suits and lawn chairs and beaches, and one of the ironies is they're often kind of not that, you know, they're funny, but they're dark funny. They're kind of, they'd be a transition into fall.
Right.
And so, like, for example, one of my booksellers really liked the book, The Enlightenment of Nina Finlay, and she told me that it was, it takes place in, I think, in Italy, where she is in love with two brothers, and then, and one she marries, the other doesn't, but then she winds up being estranged from both of them and has to go to Greece to kind of figure out where they are and how to solve her problem. I guess it was sort of like Beautiful Runes. That was a perfect summer book. And so I read a book called Summer Long by Dean Bacopoulos, who actually helped.
Summer
Long. A friend
Long.
Of Mike Perry's, and actually helped a bit on the Jesus Cow.
Oh.
And it is about, it takes place in Iowa. This is his Iowa book. He had a Wisconsin book, but he moved away. But he used to be at the Wisconsin Humanities Council.
Oh.
And it is about these two couples, an older couple, a younger couple. The older couple is married. They're having terrible marriage problems. The house is in foreclosure. And they each meet a person. She meets a younger guy. He meets a younger woman who are also back in town because of bad things happening to them. And the older couple each becomes fixated on the younger person in the opposite sex. And the younger people wind up hooking up. And so it becomes sort of a love quadrilateral, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
But it's very funny. At the same time, it's very somber and dark and sort of, because they're all sort of at the crossroads of their lives. And there's a few other side characters who are equally interesting and all intricately connected.
Okay.
That's my other pick. Summer Long by Dean Bacopoulos.
Thank you so much. You're wonderful. You always are. That sounds good. That's my summer pick too.
Okay.
All right. And I'm sorry you didn't call in about Harper Lee, but I sure hope you listen
Wednesday
at 2. Maybe nobody cares, but I care. People have to care. It's being discussed.
So.
All right. Thanks, Daniel Golden, our guest this hour. And Daniel joins us pretty often to talk about books, to give us great books to read. He is the owner of Boswell Books, an independent bookstore in Milwaukee, and we thank him for being with us. Thanks to Scotty Myers and KP Whaley for production of this program. And thank you, everybody, for all of your recommendations and for listening here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.